So again, it appears that the original court order, which you can find online, by the way, I put it up there in January after it was issued by the court. You could go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz to take a look at it if you'd like. It does have a section which talks about, and it's agreed by both the Santa Cruz Homeless Union and city attorney and his evil brothers and sisters, that there's no alternative housing options. There's no disagreement, the judge notes, between the plaintiffs and defendants, that there are no alternative shelters or individual housing options available for the people residing in the encampment. Despite efforts by the city and county to accommodate the homeless persons during the COVID-19 pandemic, including expanding shelter capacity at multiple locations, the longer-term shelters are generally full. Further, the county has a prioritized referral pool from which vacant shelter beds are quickly filled, and the individuals encamped at San Lorenzo Park do not have priority within that system. So there is mention of the shelter crisis, but there is no mention other than the general statement about the need to have, a public interest. The court recognizes the legitimate public interest of protecting public health and safety, as well as the need to protect and preserve San Lorenzo Park, as well as the public interest in maintaining protections afforded by the Constitution to those most in need of such protection. The judge continues. The court finds that would be the Martin versus Boise decision, that they would, although it's not, he doesn't cite it in this, it's certainly true struck down the ability of city and local jurisdictions to go after people simply using camping laws when they have no shelter provisions for those people. The court finds that this preliminary injunction, however, is tightly tied to the current phase of the COVID crisis, will benefit public health at large. Ensuring that the homeless persons have an access to shelter and vital services during the COVID-19 pandemic is imperative. And it will reduce the likelihood that it'll spread more broadly, of course. So that was the basis on which COVID was pretty much the basis on which this was originally granted. And it's the basis on which Anthony Prince was arguing that it should be continued. And that's going to be the basis later today, if you get to the meeting in Park, that there'll be discussion of, well, not so much this injunction as what to do next. What can the community do to help defend and protect folks who are outside? I mean, I have lots of ideas, but ideas are a dime a dozen, or, you know, a good idea is one thing. The ability to carry it out is often something quite different. I had a conversation with Keith McHenry, a pretty heated conversation, as I said before. I'm going to play some of that, and I'm going to be interrupting it in order to clarify where I think I was in error or didn't fully appreciate a consideration that was being expressed, or missed something, or maybe to commend myself for being such a sharp cookie. Who knows? Anyway, let's get into that conversation I had with him yesterday, which would be at least on the 27th, if you're listening to this on the 28th.
7th, calling Keith McHenry. It's about 9:15 in the morning.
Here we are with Keith McHenry. Good morning, Keith.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, yeah, well, I'm going to go blather back and forth all day here with these preliminaries.
Preliminary injunction, that's what I need.
Yeah, that's an injunction. Yeah, well, that's actually what I called you about. The Sentinel today, the Santa Cruz Urinal, as I call it, has a story that says, I'm going to take a look at it. I've got this paper right in front of my eyes about the upcoming court case. Or ongoing court case that's happening in the venue of Susan Van Coolen on, I guess it's 9:30 on Tuesday, is that right?
It seemed like it was 9:30 the last time, so I'm assuming that it's 9:30 again, but I'm not, you know, it's not confirmed at this point, but it's 99%.
Yeah, that's what it says that in Jessica Jerks, York.
Does it say it in her story?
If you go to 9:30 a.m., remote online access.
Then that's what it is.
Well, it says the plan here, apparently undiscussed with other homeless organizations, is a coalition of homeless rights advocates generally have agreed to move a large unmanaged encampment out of San Lorenzo Park. Is that coalition you, Alicia, and Anthony Cool? Is that the group of the coalition we're talking of? And, of course, that's Anthony Prince I'm talking about, not Anthony Cool. I'm always a bit sensitive, perhaps to also Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, being not included in this discussion. And also wondering just how many of the actual individuals were included in the Santa Cruz Homeless Union, since there were no homeless union meetings before this. Plan apparently was reportedly agreed to, again, by the questionable source Jessica York.
And the people that we interviewed in the park kind of were like, well, we don't really give a crap as long as we don't have to move again. But some people did resist and said it was screwed up.
Well, I also heard from Alicia that she was suggesting her strategy when I suggested the idea that we may bring to the meeting. I guess it's going to be
Monday, which I don't know when you're broadcasting.
Yeah, it'll be today if you're listening to this on Sunday. But yeah, we're talking on Saturday. Is at the meeting at the San Lorenzo Park at 5 o'clock? Is it 5 o'clock that's happening?
5 o'clock. Yeah, we're hoping to get a bunch of people to bring food, and we're going to bring food ourselves.
And the discussion at that meeting was, for me, had to do with if the prior Zoom call that we had with a bunch of advocates, they're advocates too in their own way, for sure, is to, figure out what to do, not just when, I guess it was about the TOLO law, but it was also more broadly, and I raised this issue, about any kind of police action or court action or city manager action against a homeless encampment, whether it's San Lorenzo Park or the Highway 1 or whatever, when they do not provide alternate housing, there has to be some steps that people can make other than wringing their hands or rushing down there later to say, oh, they're all gone, gosh, that's a real shame, or next time we'll do it better, or whatever. But my suggestion was that housed people set up tents, as they did in San Lorenzo Park, at, let's say, the Ross Camp or City Hall or somewhere else, and then invite homeless people to come. That is to say, they make this as their threat to any police authorities. If you go after this encampment, we will set up another one as a sort of a deterrent. That would be my suggestion at that meeting. And I don't know, people have not mentioned it in any length since then, so I don't know if anybody's interested. You said you kind of thought it was okay. But instead, what we have is Prince essentially proposing or agreeing to the city's proposal after concealing the documents that would have led to this, which had to do with, for the last month, I've been asking you and him to provide those documents, the declarations by the people in the parks, the city's arguments. None of that is coming out until the very last minute, when there's very little time to do any organizing around this. So am I improperly frustrated here, Keith, or am I...
Well, I did receive finally early this morning the documents, so...
Actually, he didn't receive the documents. He received the proposed order that the city wants the judge to sign. That's all he got. Or if he got more, that's the only thing he sent me, but I'm pretty sure that Keith... probably sent me everything he had. The documents I requested were all the evidence, the declarations from all the various neighbors, all the various city officials, all the various members of the camp that are now public record and in the file of this case that essentially provide the background to what's going on and also the basis for appealing to the community for some sanity and common sense and reality as to what's going on, not just based on fears, not just based on hopes, but based upon real evidence. And we haven't gotten these documents because, well, let me put it this way. They are available in the court if you are willing to pay for them through PACER, which is the court process, as I understand it. But not Anthony Prince refused to provide them, and Keith and Alicia and other Santa Cruz Homeless Union activists expressed no interest in I don't know, antagonizing Anthony Prince through requesting them anyway, by saying, look, the union would like them. Send them, please, so we don't have to pay for them. And that, I mean, I'm still working on that. I believe it still needs to be done. But this really upset me, and I've been talking about it on the air repeatedly, and urging Anthony to do otherwise. His response was to suggest that I need to be disciplined by either suspension or expulsion from the, or at least that seems to be what he is suggesting he wants to do, from the union itself, which to me is an inappropriate response to this situation, an overreaction, and well, not a good idea, and not a good way of drawing people into the union, I don't think. So that kind of became the basis for this phone call. I was going to play a lot of it to, I don't know, maybe just overemphasize my concerns about this, but I kind of stated them, just what I just said. We need to have the documents. It would have been nice to have a written order proposed that not just, I've said this before, not just provides alternatives to what the city provided, and not just do so sort of by tailing on the city's order, but that it presents something independent of that, and also talks about homeless people outside the encampment and their needs too, and the broader context of all this within the city's anti-homeless laws, the TOLA law. And I know that what you're going to hear Keith saying, and, well, you can hear what he has to say, and then I'll comment on it.
Oh, excellent.
I've been busy with some other stuff. But
you realize those documents, wait a minute, you realize those documents were filed at the end of January, many of them, and that we went through the entire month of...
I don't know anything about, you know, that is, I... No,
there was a deadline for...
I passed on.
There was a...
this particular one, the ones that about the settlement, Jessica got them before I did, so I don't know.
What I'm saying is there were documents that were deadlined as in January 30th that Prince and the city both had to file after the January 15th hearing. They did, I assume, and they refused. Your attorney, our attorney, the attorney, refused to provide them with us. You reluctantly sent him a request and then didn't follow up on it, and obviously put very little pressure on him, since you're a man on the ground. You can actually do something about this. Because
I assume whatever I got, I passed on to you, and I have no idea really the details of all that.
I think you have a healthy disrespect for legal process in one sense. And so I appreciate the fact that, you know, you most of your attention has to do with nuts and bolts,
you know,
and
streets,
and carrots and, you know, carrots and veggies. And that's, you know, right on and for sure. But
the thing is that I'm not even that, you know, the case is what the case is. And, I think there's much larger organizing issues, which I think are occurring, but slowly, and they are slow. And that's building a sense of resistance, and that there's support for resistance by people living outside. And I noticed when I went to deal with this police sweep, Monday, I guess it was. I forget when it was.
The Depot Park sweep, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that, you know, what was really heartening was that people were there like, this is screwed up. We don't need to move anymore. But the thing is that at some point, as this society collapses further, you know, there we'll start to see, I think, more and more resistance to being pushed around. And I don't know if that's where we need to kind of somehow build support, but there's a lot of vulnerable older people that can't possibly, you know, that could be harmed and killed and so on in police actions, which are killed in police actions already.
Now, I don't see anything in my email regarding any settlement offers. I assumed, I mean, if the homeless people are other than Anthony's making his own understanding deal with people is what happened, Anthony Prince, the lawyer.
Here's the issue.
I assumed that it would have come to you beforehand, and you would have some kind of at least prepped potential settlement, which I didn't get a copy of. I'm a member of an organization that's been working with this for years here, and as well as working with the COVID-19 Survival Center or whatever the
Center. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, the
where is it?
So the thing is, we had a bunch of options,
Now I'm going to interrupt Keith here, as I frequently did in this call. I'm asking him why he didn't put out this this settlement offer, if there was such a settlement offer, to, let's say, at least the members of the union, maybe Huff people, other colleagues. Why did it get to Jessica York first? And, of course, it came from the city. But there have been a series of meetings and deadlines for documents to be filed about this issue. And yet, those of us who are trying to be informed about this, trying to find alternatives, find resistance strategies, or not knowing about this. And a lot of it depends upon timelines, too. So I'm trying to get him to answer what the timeline situation is. And Keith keeps talking about the broader dimensions of it, which I think is important. But so is getting the damn documents and demanding they be given, even if it ruffles the feathers of this of the attorney involved. Although, you know, obviously the thing for us to do is to find other options too, so that if there comes a time at which it becomes clear that, how do I put this, I don't think we want to antagonize an attorney who's the only attorney so far who's been willing to help us out in this kind of situation, really, locally. And I can appreciate that, but there's also the issue of, for me, making sure that all the information gets back to us, and it shouldn't have to be done by begging and pleading or trying to find it through other means. That is my concern, and that people who are the union officials should be facilitating this, not sort of soothing the... justifying this kind of behavior on the part of the attorney, or saying, well, anyway, you'll hear what Keith's thoughts are on this.
Well, screw the city and screw the courts. But, you know, people, you know, it's not all or nothing type of thing. So
you also had the option to ask for more. You had the option to say,
did ask for
Prince never did that.
We don't know what our side.
Of course we don't, because we don't have the fucking documents, Keith.
Well, I just got the documents 4 minutes ago, so I'll email them.
No. I'm not talking about 4 minutes ago. I'm talking about 4 weeks ago, when this whole thing was in process.
And also, I don't think he got the documents 4 minutes ago. The document he got is the one that I described in detail, which is simply the city attorney's proposal. It's not a document from describing the new evidence presented to the court. It's not a document providing alternatives that Anthony Prince and the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless are saying should be done instead of the city attorney's proposal of moving everybody to the bench lands and then God knows where. Anyway, a little bit more, and then I think we'll let this issue percolate, and you can come and percolate with us at 5 o'clock if you want to check out San Lorenzo Park.
Documents 4 weeks ago about any of this.
No, as I told you, there were documents filed by January 30th. You know that because...
quite frankly, the whole debate surrounding what's going on in the park around this issue, whatever the documents were back then, are not relevant to the situation that occurs right now.
It has to do with, there were allegations of massive criminality in the parks. And that's the basis which at least Jennifer York, and I hate having to rely on her as a source, but until...
That's Jessica York. Sorry about that, Jessica.
Well, until I get your actual email, and I know I will. I suspect I will, because you send it to me, and that's good. But, you know, all I have to have is to rely on is her commentary. But these arguments by the city were done back then. They weren't done now. They were done 4 weeks ago. Now, come on. Let's be candid about this.
They were nonsense. I don't know what... I mean...
But you see, if they were nonsense, then it would be the declarations that would reveal that they were nonsense. And those declarations are not in our hands. And that's my point.
We had to see what they are and show they were nonsense. But Prince refused to send those documents to us.
Well, I thought I sent those to you. I mean, whatever I get, I forward to you.
I don't think you got it either, because I think you probably did send me everything you got. But there was no such thing. It came after. I've gotten no documents since.
I, quite frankly, like I say, I'm not paying attention to that. I'm paying attention to other stuff. So my assumption is when I get something, I send it to you. And it's all the same blather and crazy-ass crap that the city always says. So
and since Prince has threatened to expel me from the homeless union or suspend me based upon my simply asking, because I simply asked for those documents, I would think it would be important to you to be aware of that issue, because I raised it with you a month ago, well, at least a couple weeks ago.
I wrote him and I wrote you and I said stuff and so on. Anyway, that's...
I can show you, and I will be showing Huff the documents that you sent me.
Okay. Well,
and there wasn't much of it, I'll tell you that, man.
I don't know what there's a lot going down, and we're trying to keep up with it, and we're not trying to conceal something from you, and we're not trying to bother you, but there's a lot of... players.
How can you say that when Prince refuses to release the documents? How can you say that?
I wrote him and said send the documents.
It doesn't matter, he didn't do it, did he? That's the point.
I don't know because I...
Oh, you don't know? Okay, look. I don't want. Let's continue. Let's go. I mean, it's hard to believe you're not being disingenuous here, but I understand you're taxed in different ways. So.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that to me, we got to build like a resistance. We have to build a union where people
not if it's built on falsehood, misinformation, and authoritarianism at the top. I'm sorry.
We'll cut this guy off and take a musical break, and maybe everybody can go get a cup of coffee or maybe something more mellow.
With your face to the wind, I see you smiling again. Spirits moving. I know that you're gonna win. You've been down this road before. Something inside tells you what's in store. Gotta remember what we're all here for. You gotta eat up the apple and spit out the core. With your face, with your face to the wind. See you smiling again. I see you smiling. That old sow's ear and turn it into a purse with your face.
With your face to the wind, see you smiling again. I see you smiling.
Like a gift of a friend that you've been to me. Yes, there are hands here to comfort you. And if you need, there are tears to cry with you too. And there are hearts that will sing with you. And voices to cheer when you finally made it through.
With your face to the wind, see you smiling again. I see you smile.
Sometimes it takes the dark to let us see the light. You can't have that victory unless you fought the fight. Sometimes it takes a winding road to lead us home. While you're winding round, my friend, just don't go winding round alone. With your face to the wind, see a smile again.
I see a smile again.
Spirits moving with him.
Spirits moving with
him. Know that you're gonna win.
I know that you're gonna win.
Acapella now, here we go.
With your face to the wind,
see a smiling again.
I see a smiling again.
Spirits moving with him.
Spirits moving with him.
Peter, Paul, and Mary from their album Flowers and Stones, and the name of the song, With Your Face to the Wind. More of the windy dialogue I had with Keith McHenry on the phone about, my concerns about the missing declarations and things and stuff like that. I don't think we're going to play too much more of this, but here is a little more.
Work very well.
So the thing is that law is a bunch of crap, and every, you know, so that's the way it is.
Well, that may be, direct information to people who are the union people you're trying to appeal to not a bunch of crap. It is important and essential, man.
Yeah, well, whatever I get it. I mean, there's reams of this stuff, so I send it out to you and Alicia, and you know, we you know, to Angel, you know, we share what we can, you know.
You're not being factually accurate, Keith.
The best we can, but there's so many complications and problems with this with what is going on in general.
Before we get into, I think Keith did send me what he got. I'm assuming he did. It's just he didn't get very much. And when I asked him to essentially say to Anthony, the union wants you to send more, he just requested it once and then let it go when nothing got sent to that extent. Now, he doesn't follow this stuff very carefully. And, you know, what's the point of mentioning all this in a broadcast of this kind? I guess to me what's important is that there be a standard of transparency between attorneys and clients, particularly on homeless issues. But also, and if the attorney is also an activist who is organizing a union, then it's important that that organization not be compromised by keeping back documents when they're requested by union members. When we asked Anthony about this issue, he refused to give us any discussion of it. And again, his response was essentially although who knows, he may not be carrying out his threat, to try to have me suspended or expelled from the local union for raising the issue several times with him in an email. I actually kind of backed off from raising it when he was doing the court case, and I still am not sending him a lot of new demands or anything, because I think that should be done by the entire union and the officials. Alicia Cole, president, and Keith, I guess he's vice president or some high official up there. In any case, we don't really have all the information, and I hope we get it. It's probably going to be too late by the time we do, but maybe not too late in a broader sense, so we'll know what the real background is for this whole controversy as to who's claiming that that homeless people are a bunch of essentially I was going to use the word scumbags. That is to say, it's important to know who is on what side in this issue, or who is misinformed on what issue and needs to have what they're saying appreciated as a form of misinformation rather than... and if they are in leadership positions in local groups in the city, to have that made clear to the community as well. In any case, here's a little more.
Uh-huh. It's insane. And so, you know, there's many moving parts, there's many different organizations, there's all kinds of people have different angles of what they're trying
to do. You never consulted Huff before this settlement, okay? You never consulted, I don't know what activists you did consult.
The people I consulted were the people in the park, and I walked through the park and talked to people what they thought. And that, to me, seems like since they're the ones going to have to move.
For sure. But you also well, in other words, Jessica York's claim that it's the homeless advocates, the only advocates you consulted were people inside the Santa Cruz Homeless Union other than me, correct?
I talked, the only people I really talked to were people that lived in tents at San Lorenzo Park.
Well, you must have talked with Anthony Prince to even know what the fucking proposal was.
Yeah, well, I had to go into the camp and talk to them what the city's proposal was, get their ideas of what they thought about it.
When did you do that? When did that actually happen?
I did that a couple of days before we had to give our answer to them. And then, so that's like 3 or 4 days ago. Whatever it was, you know, I went through with declarations to get declarations of the people in there and what they thought about that. But then it turned out that people were like, it's just, you know, hopefully we'll stay another, you know, 90 days. We don't, you know, some people have mixed feelings, though, if we go down there, you know, it's okay if we're there. We just don't want to be policed.
We should say, for those listening, that in case you haven't read the article.
So what we were pushing, you know, I did not see Anthony's...
hang on, the proposal, so people understand what we're talking about. The proposal that's before the court, according to the Sentinel, and I would take it, you can correct this, is that there be an immediate move to the bench lands, or maybe that'll happen when the tier goes, you know, down a tier, and once they're in the bench lands, when the tier goes yellow, it's get the fuck lost.
And that, of course, has to do with you know, purple tier, red tier, yellow tier, orange tier, all these different levels of the seriousness of the COVID spread, number of people in hospitals, number of people who are dying, and so forth.
Am I wrong about
that? And the aspects of that what we got, I guess we should have emailed you that, but it was like, you know, that just came in, and then we read it, and then I went through the park talking to people about it. And the... the most egregious stuff we've pushed back on.
So what egregious stuff got pushed back on?
The whole thing is a bunch. The reality is that it's going to be action on the street that's going to ultimately change things. But
action on the street, like, Keith, must be informed by accurate information by the people who are negotiating away the whole situation at the top. I'm afraid that's always the case in this in situations of protest, and you probably know that from your experience in this situation with other protests. The boys at the top.
The people in San Lorenzo Park are not.
No, but they're not doing the negotiating. It's Anthony Prince who's doing the negotiating. That's
so the issue that for the listeners to know, there's a federal court case that's appearing, and there's a judge who can go yay or nay about whatever, and she has never been homeless, and she has really no clue of what's going on, nor does the city attorney have any clue what's about being unhoused. So the thing is, though, we're communicating, we're relying on this one relatively wealthy woman in a position of power to determine what's happening. So our communications to her are related to the fact that she, her, from what she is as an actual human being and what the likely best outcome could be from a person from her position, not some kind of theoretical thing that is utopian or even is even makes sense in a certain sense. You know, if she wasn't sitting there, so we have to couch it in some kind of a. So we kind of boxed ourselves in a way, but it worked because it was, you know, it kept people there for a much longer time, and we used COVID as the issue. And that also had a danger because they could declare COVID over, and then as you indicated, then it would become a mess. But that so there's that. So the thing is, we could say, and we actually talked. You know, there was some brief conversation with Anthony about the perspective of, you know, like of having a much more radical proposal and everything. And then we just realized that it could lead to an immediate eviction and no possible camp.
I can interrupt you for a minute here, because the more so-called radical proposition was one that's been accepted by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has to do with the Martin versus Boise decision. Now, the reality is also that you have to have some place for people to go if they are going to be evicted from a place. That would be, I think, has been an agreed-upon notion.
Yeah, and they're trying to, and this federal court case currently right now is over. The claim is the way that the city, which is somewhat of a slight victory, although not a real, you know, obviously not the victory we want. But originally, when the police came in the beginning of December to evict everybody, and there's a video of Mills going, yeah, they can just go find some other tree to live in, right? So whatever it was. So now they had to kind of capitulate and say, okay, we are going to put 122 people in some kind of managed camp. And then the managed camp aspect of it was a lot of nonsense that we had to...
That's the proposal, is to move people into the so-called managed camp in the benchlands, correct?
Yeah.
But that's only as long as the tier is not yellow, correct?
Yeah.
And therefore, after that, there is nothing. That's the point. So what I don't understand...
The sad aspect of this, which was a strategy that we used, which has worked temporarily, was about COVID. So when COVID is no longer in existence, this injunction no longer exists. And that was the entire, right from day one, that was the situation, right?
No, that's not right. There were also considerations about the lack of shelter. That was mentioned as well.
Our problem was that...
Now, I think I was somewhat in error about that, somewhat wrong about that. I think it is true that the lack of shelter is agreed upon and mentioned in Van Kulin's injunction order, that's agreed to by both sides. But it's not really mentioned as a basis for... a strong basis. It's all about the COVID-19, pretty much. That doesn't mean, however, that can't be referenced as a key issue here, given the fact that there is no shelter, and what has to be done is people have to be allowed to be in place. I guess what's being claimed here is that they're being moved to another place nearby that is adequate, at least for and it's not really for an indefinite period of time. I believe it's for a limited period of time. As I mentioned before, the city's proposal has two options. One is to say they get moved to the benchlands until both the May 8th emergency order from the city granting the city manager power to rule the roost, actually, and he will declare essentially the pandemic over. So until the county declares the pandemic over and the city, the city's May 8th order is eliminated either on May 8th or previously by city council action, I would imagine. So that means this would last throughout the month of April and maybe a little longer. But there's no indication it's lasting any longer than that. So there is an argument to be made here, and if somebody wanted to fill out an order to the court as an option, that or make a requirement that there be no movement from the Benchlands area until such time as there is alternate housing available, not just until such time as the COVID-19 ends, or the county says it ends, or the city says that the emergency decrees of the city manager are no longer in effect. And that, as far as I know, if that's being proposed, and I hope it is, I haven't heard about it.
The federal judge is ruling on this relative to the dangers of COVID. And so we have to communicate with her from the perspective of COVID. And we are still so the other issue is the right to housing under the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That is as we did realize, and I think that you would agree that to get this particular judge, who is actually relative to federal judges, the situation we've been dealing with has been relatively positive. That the debate is around COVID.
It's not just no. It's not. I don't agree. I do not agree.
You don't have to agree, but that's.
Wait a minute. I think in the main you're correct that was the main, and I think you and I have always agreed, and I think it's been generally true, that once the COVID threat is removed, everybody gets mowed away. But in the decision by Van Coolen, which you just acknowledged, she also mentions the shelter situation. And therefore, obviously, since the COVID thing is going away, I'm sorry, that's the truth, and you know that too, you have to focus on that and also upon the situation for the broader people in the homeless community there. Now, I what I'm saying is that...
Well, we're trying to get...
And that was not done, apparently. That pisses me off. And you had no consultation with the rest of us on this issue other than the particular group of people in the park, which I understand are the people who are concerned, but it also concerns everybody else in that who's outside in the community and everyone who supports them as well. And if you're simply tailoring your strategy based upon the strategy of the attorney, and that's what it looks like to me, I could be wrong.
So the issue is that we analyze the situation.
You, Alicia, and Anthony analyzed the situation. Yes.
What other stuff that were working, plus the people we spoke to
They didn't analyze the legal situation. They heard what you told them, did they not? And they did
yeah.
what. So, in other words, you didn't sit down in a group meeting with everybody in one of those famed Union of the Homeless meetings that don't happen. Let me finish and actually discuss what a strategy could be. No. The three of you at the top, mostly Anthony, made that decision. Am I wrong about that?
That is wrong.
Okay, then explain to me what discussions actually did happen on an equal basis where other alternatives were considered, please. Because I haven't heard you say a thing about that.
Well, the other alternatives, the discussion of the other alternatives is just to say that we're 100% against moving anywhere for until COVID is over. That's our statement to the judge, that don't even move, don't even touch them.
No, that's not the alternative. The alternative is to say until they are providing additional housing for everyone for a reasonable period of time, and also because this impacts the rest of the community, and there are going to be other people moving in and out of this situation, we're concerned about a broader injunction to assist in the situation for Santa Cruz. My point is that these issues were never raised by Prince, and
I guess our reading was that since this particular case.
And you never sat down with the people to discuss these issues as possibilities, including, great geniuses like myself, of course. But, that's not really
anyway,
the point.
We're doing whatever. We're trying, people are grateful they've had this much time. It's a huge issue. The reality is that when it's declared the danger of COVID being over from an unhoused person's point of view and from everybody's point of view really is the fact that, for instance, all these hotels, few hotels already have people in them.
They'll be kicked out. Correct. That's right.
But the scope of this particular case, I know, maybe it's a bad idea. Maybe we're just throwing everything at the city.
The point is, you had that stuff available. She had mentioned it already in her January ruling on an injunction. She ruled. She pointed that out, and you could have used that, but you did not. And I'm not saying that, you know, this sounds like Monday morning quarterbacking, but it only is because none of us were consulted on this, and it looks. I mean,
The people who are being affected were the people consulted.
And they weren't offered that alternative. They were told what would only work, and they better take it or leave it.
We asked their opinion what they thought was best.
Okay, how many people ventured their opinions on this?
I don't know. It was probably 20 people. It was not
that's good.
To gather people together. So that's why there's a meeting on Sunday at 5 to try to get people together to discuss what's going to happen and what we can do.
And again, I didn't ask whether this was a group discussion or whether, Keith and Alicia and whoever did this went individually talking to each person and saying, what do you think of this idea? I'm glad that they did. That's really an important thing to do. I think you're getting the gist of this. I'm finding it, on reviewing it, I was kind of concerned about putting this out because it does have me pissed at Keith and at Alicia and at Anthony Prince. Mostly Prince, I'm afraid. And that doesn't seem to be very politic for trying to hold together a unified front and so forth. But I guess I would say to that it's also important to feel free to criticize where you need to criticize and get through that. And I think, at least I hope, that's what we did. So here's a bit more.
Right, but the papers were filed prior to that. Anyway, you've sent me the documents yourself, so I can look them over and carp at you at some other time.
There's a lot going on, we're trying to feed people, we're trying to fix people's cars, we're being harassed by the city ourselves, got internal problems, we've got, FBI infiltration that we got to deal with, all kinds of fucking things.
You have some particular agent you've identified.
The anniversary of the first generation around that.
Any news about anything else happening in Santa Cruz as far as attacks on homeless encampments or new threats, or is all quiet on the Western Front?
Yeah, no, there's all kinds of problems out there. There's all kinds of evictions. You go downtown, there's people in every doorway. The number of people...
I've never seen people in every doorway, but again, I'm not usually down there at dusk. You always say that. Are you sure that's not an exaggeration, Keith?
Maybe not every doorway, but lots and lots of doorways.
All right. Let's moderate the rhetoric, because it sounds more credible when you do. That's just my suggestion.
Yeah. All along the parking garage on Cedar, there are people all sleeping in the grass.
How many people would you estimate are visibly outside in the downtown area?
Well, just in, driving back from the Funabons Mill at Front Street to the Red Church, maybe 15 people.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
what do you hear about Depot Park? You mentioned that, I guess, some days ago.
I spent all of yesterday with dealing with the issues of global food not bombs.
Right. But if you haven't heard anything, it's okay to say I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. I mean, I know we've had issues of violence at the, somebody, I don't even know what happened, but anyway, we've got hassles with the poor volunteers that came there, felt she was in danger of her life when she arrived, and she fled before.
This was at the food not bombs meal you're talking about? This is at the meal?
It's at the meal.
But the meal will be going on again. It went on.
So I had to go get more equipment. We had to move all the food out of the India Joe's because he needs to open up as a restaurant again. Mm-hmm. We are trying to find some place to move because it's a mess at the construction site across the street. We're trying to make sure we get food in and out of.
Any reports from Safe Parking Association of Faith Communities? I haven't been able to get a response from Steve Plaich on a number of issues.
Well, everybody's kind of pretty, people that live in cars are pretty angry about that program. And there's actually a big split in that organization, apparently, because people are angry about the fact that they are capitulating endlessly to the city to
specifics on that?
Well, the main thing is that there's no funding to register all the vehicles, and therefore you can't. So you're just out of luck, and so it's left up to Food Not Bombs to fund the registration of vehicles so that they could get into safe parking. That's like messed up. Because you can't, so they're aggressively ticketing people, so they got so many tickets they can't register the vehicle, so then they can't park in safe parking. So that's like 90% of all people that live in vehicles outside.
Is that 90% an exaggeration, or is that a statistically scientific?
Anybody that really wants to stay, everybody that ever comes to us and wants to stay in safe parking finds that there's a barrier and they can't get there mostly because of this registration.
And let's say in the last month, how many people do you estimate have come to you looking for safe parking assistance?
There was on March 3rd, there was like three people that once who had just lost their housing and were trying to find out where to move their vehicles. Yeah.
So maybe say 3 to 10 people in the last month?
It's more than that.
Okay, I'm not trying to undercount. I'm just trying to get an accurate or a good ballpark.
People are telling us that. Yeah, I mean that's happening all the time. You know, Karen called me. She began recently. She can't move her car. She's worried she's going to lose it. That's like all day. Problems. People with raids on camps.
Any other camp raids other than the, I guess, Depot Park? You haven't heard anything more from them, you were saying.
No, I haven't been over there.
Do you think you would have heard if they had been displaced?
I don't know. I spent all day doing other stuff. I was only at the meal for about 30 minutes, maybe an hour yesterday.
I mean, would somebody on Signal would have mentioned it,
Well, Abby was there for a while, last thing I heard.
That's Abby Samuels of Cop Watch, yeah.
Yeah, she said, because I turned it over, I passed the baton on to her because I had to leave to go do other things to deal with Food Not Bombs. And like all of her equipment is wearing out, so I had to go get a bunch of more tents and things like that. You know, so a lot of logistical issues.
So have you sent off the email yet, by the way?
The church, so there's always that drama with the
Keith,
have
you sent off the email that has all the latest documentation of the court case?
Yeah, I'm laying in a bed talking to you.
Oh, okay. Well, let me allow you to either go back to sleep or get up and do something, and I'll await that, and thank you for, being as candid as you are with a relatively spirited, critique that you're expressing, you're dealing with some concerns.
I think the big emphasis is that we got to break away from the political and economic system and do our own trip, because it's collapsing rapidly and it's going to get really heavy. So that's the thing. I talked to, what's her name, Sheba, the...
city council member, yeah.
Yeah. And, and it's saying, she came to see the meal yesterday.
How did that go?
We brought her son, which was really nice. And it was a really crazy time there. It was kind of wonderful. It was wonderful, really. But the amount of people, there's new people moving in to live around where we're serving food. And I pointed out that, it appears to me, I think it probably appears to most people, that there's more and more people moving to the streets. But you can see more and more tents all around town, everywhere. It's always surprising how many more pop up.
And what was her reaction to all this?
And they said, the city needs to accommodate, as the housing moratoriums, eviction moratoriums, and as the people are kicked out of hotels and stuff like that.
Her reaction was?
She just nods.
Yeah, she's the one who voted for the TOLO ordinance, of course, so
she's completely, there's no allies on city council. I don't know why she wants to talk to me and why she wants to visit, but, I'm happy to talk to anybody and visit. But the main point I'm making is, because I don't think she, to me, they're like a celluloid avatars, you know? And that's...
Did you learn any information from her that might be useful for us?
She doesn't know really what she's talking about. She doesn't have any information. She doesn't telegraph how they're going to screw homeless people in the future. My only goal is to give the impression that I'm actually a human being as opposed to some enemy that she can just crush, so that she has to crush what we're doing. But, you know, introduce her to the people, you know, introduce her to Portuguese Tony and everybody at the Mio and stuff, so that, you know, she gets an idea that these are real human beings that are going to be completely cast away. That's the best I can do with her. I can't read her. I don't know, really.
No, I understand, but I just wondered, how long did it...
I think the most important part that I told her was that Cindy has to figure out a way to accommodate, you know, potentially 100 new unhoused people per month, maybe as many as 500 in a month, and, you know, as this eviction...
Did she laugh out loud when you said that? I mean, you know, what was her reaction?
She just... she nodded and go, yeah, I guess you're right. That is a good point, is what she said.
As soon as she goes back, of course, to her experts, and they tell you, oh, that's a ridiculous exaggeration.
But it's right visible right in your face. And so that's where the rubber meets the road. There's things collapsing.
Did she volunteer to cook, perhaps? Cook and serve?
I invited her to come and serve, and that is so funny. People thought she was... really know who she was, you know, so they kept offering her rice and beans, and they wanted to know if she wanted a bag lunch, and all that happened.
How long did all this take? How long was she there for?
She was there probably, I don't know, because I was late, because I was doing a podcast with somebody. And
I remember, we were talking too. But how long did you talk to her for?
I was there with her for maybe 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was nothing in particular that you learned about anything that she had to say that you think is worth communicating?
She didn't know. She never has had any... she's really good at not saying anything. and then we also asked, I said, well, you know, she wanted to know how we're... about our move, if we're moving. I said, well, we're talking to the county. She goes, oh, that's a very good location. That would be very visible. I said, yeah, looks like we'd be good to move to lot 22. Might be good. So if you can get back to us about lot 22.
Well, lot 22 is where?
And that's between University Coffee and whatever that chocolate cafe thing.
Oh, it's right next to University Copy, sort of.
Yeah. So it's, that's like a, nobody's, you know, and actually it was Tom at University Copy suggested the parking lot. He said there's virtually nobody in there, so why not do it there?
Huh. And is that a definite proposal you think that's on the Martin?
That's our proposal, yeah. We don't know what this, so the thing is that the whole city correspondence thing is completely bizarre. So we get there's no real official channel of interaction between us and the city on any level other than this injunction around San Lorenzo Park.
You mean Lee Butler doesn't sort of sit down with you and chat or anything like that?
No, but he does, and we actually, so our main point, and I made this to clear to the city council, her, and to everybody, that we are Food Not Bombs, they are the city. We do what we do, they do what they do. We don't get told what to do, and we don't tell them what to do, but we're not going to get pushed around, and we're not going to, we're going to resist any kind of, assaults on the rights of people, but we're not, they want to keep doing the sewer, they want to keep picking up the trash, they want to keep filling potholes, we're all for that. That's their job, you go do that. Our job is taking care of people that live on the streets.
Has the city been regularly doing dumpster pickups and toilet cleanings and so forth?
Well, at the meal, they've been really good, yeah. Actually, once, somebody burned the dumpster and melted the top off of it and everything.
The one over at the meal, you mean?
At the meal, yeah. Mm. So now over at San Lorenzo, they were about making.
Yeah, I saw they replaced the disabled porta potty a couple weeks back.
Yeah, they slightly. So anyway, that's what we're trying to do. I wonder if I lost something. The situation as it arises now.
All right. Well, I will await your documents, and I will leave you to either rest or rise as you choose.
Oh, I hope I find what I'm looking for. Okay. Oh my God, was I supposed to do this for food stamps?
Anything you want to announce before I leave you? This is being played again on Sunday, the 28th, I guess.
I think we are at this kind of intense point in history where the police sweeps and the riot police kicking people out and stuff. It's definitely an escalated war against the unhoused, and it's quite concerning on a large scale. It's quite horrible.
And of course, if people want more information, they can go to Food Not Bombs, Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs .net. Do I have that right?
Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs .net.
There we
go. Then just go to Food Not Bombs .net.
Mm-hmm. Volunteer if you like.
We're trying to work with probably going to do something soon with another global Zoom meeting.
And realistic Food Not Bombs serving hours are for those who really want to eat, not wait for people to arrive for an hour.
But food does arrive, like an amazing amount of cookies arrived in the cause of the conflict the last time at 12 noon. So we are there at 12 noon, and there is food there at 12 noon every single day.
But, of course, you can't vouch for that because you're not there every single day at 12 noon.
Well, unless somebody's so stupid that they don't go into the shipping container, take the food out, put it on the table, there's food there. And that's pretty unlikely because people are bugging people to have food. So
you're aware that the van arrives every day at noon because you deliver the van, or how do you?
It has been very, very good at being there on time.
Okay. The reason I say that is because I've gotten concerns that on occasion that's not the case, so I usually tell people differently.
Stop the person that was late all the time from driving.
I remember that. Yeah, okay. So it's noon to...
There was one late time, which was the chaos, which we dealt with.
So it's noon to five. Noon to five.
I don't know when it was, but I remember...
So it's noon to five every day that people should come.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, the worst case scenario is that the van is 5 minutes late. That's sort of been the situation.
Okay. And also on this...
In one case, it was 15 minutes late, and that's when the crisis arrived.
And on today's Sunday the 28th, if that's when you're listening to this...
We'll be there on time for sure.
And it will be all day till 5, or will you be moving to the park? Because I know food is being served in the park at 5 o'clock.
Sunday, we'll be moving to... I will be going to the park. The rest of Food Not Bombs, I don't know what they will be doing.
Fair enough. Anything you want to add?
No. So the main thing is that we can't rely on the governments, we can't rely on corporations, we're going to have to rely on ourselves. And things are falling apart really quickly, so that's urgent that we do that as a community.
Well, thanks, Keith, and keep the news coming, and thank you for dealing with a strenuous interviewer. So.
Okay, thanks. Did not seem like an unbiased interview.
Thank you so much for your candor.
Bye.
Anyway.